Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from GuillotineLeagues.com, here's your host, Paul Charchian.
It is a week four edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian. My co-host today, Brian Johnson, GuillotineLeagues.com.
What up?
And making his debut on this particular podcast, a longtime writer of ours at GuillotineLeagues.com and a CHOP podcast contributor, Jeff Moss. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It is this is a long show with a storied history. We don't want to freak you out, but we want you. We're very excited to have some new blood. Honestly, Scott and Matt, it was getting old. And it's just best to get some new, fresh perspective in here.
I was just worried you were going to bring in Colin McCockney.
Yeah, full time.
Then I would not have been here.
No, that's reason to leave the podcast. One segment a year is about as much Colin McCockney as anybody can handle, I think. Over the course of this show, we will answer three tough questions. We will give you 9 players upon whom you can take a chance, and we will unveil this week's premature speculation players. These are players you'll want to pick up this week that everybody else
tough
will be
question number three
trying to pick up next week. I misfired on my buttons. Here's the time machine button.
Now, can you use that to go back in time and fix
that?
Hitting the
wrong button. I'd like to do that.
If only
the time machine sounder. And I don't brag about last week's premature speculation, although I will. Everybody racing to the waiver wire to pick up Curtis Samuel now because he's active. We told you it was going to go exactly this way, and sure enough, last week we urged you to pick him up. Days in advance. Hopefully you did. Let's begin. With Arizona taking on the Los Angeles Rams, Jeff, we're going to pull the Band-Aid off, give you your first matchup right off the bat.
All right, pull the Band-Aid off right away. Okay, we'll jump right into Kyler Murray. This is his toughest matchup of the year. The Rams have allowed just 2 touchdown passes in 3 games, including taking Brady down last week. The Rams have great secondary depth and they got Ramsey on a dinged up Hopkins. I mean, he hasn't run for more than 28 yards in any of the 4 games against him. You can't bench your start. I mean, it's Kyler Murray. You can't bench him. But I mean, this is his toughest matchup of the year. So I mean, I'd have to downgrade him to a B.
Agreed.
Chase Edmonds, I'd give him a C only because he does what he does. He's going to cobble together some kind of a 10-point PPR game. I mean, the Rams have the second ranked rush defense.
He doesn't get the ball at the stripe
either. That goes to James Conner. I mean,
well, you know who does? James Conner might take a chance on me running back from last week.
Oh,
2 touchdowns. Where's that peacock at, Charles? Come on.
There you go, baby. This week, don't take a chance on Conner this week. This matchup just is awful for him.
Agreed.
Hopkins, I'm going to give him a B, even though he's dinged up, obviously. And his history with Jalen Ramsey, I mean, even back to their days with the Texans and Jaguars, I couldn't find more than 80 yards in any game that he played against Ramsey. So, and obviously he's struggling with the injury, so I wouldn't give him more than a B. The rest of Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore and A.J. Green, we saw what happened last week. Rondale Moore went up, picked up, and Kirk and Green were the guys who picked up 100 yards. I mean, if I had to pick one out of there, I would pick Kirk. But again, the Rams got great depth in the secondary, so maybe Kirk is the guy I would give a C to if I had to pick one of them.
Well, you do. This is your matchup.
And
go ahead and do that.
That's the guy I'm picking. I take him. Max Williams, he actually could be a streamer for you this week. The Rams so far, 42 yards allowed to Cole Kmet, 64 to Jack Doyle, and they gave up over 100 yards last week to the 3 Tampa tight ends. So if you're in a pinch for a tight end, Max Williams may be your guy here. He may pick up a little bit. I mean, he's kind of come out of nowhere.
Pretty much everyone's in a pinch at tight end.
Exactly.
Outside of like 3 people in your league.
Exactly. Yeah. Matt Stafford, obviously, he's an A. He's just been so good there.
Yeah.
The Rams line ranks 2nd in pass blocking by Pro Football Focus. They've given up just 3 sacks and 5 hits to him in the 3 games. Rob Elford, Byron Murphy, and Marco Wilson, I don't think they're causing him to lose a whole lot of sleep. So, I mean, he's a pretty obvious. Cooper Kupp, just start him. There's no
NFC player, offensive player of the month.
Just start him. Robert Woods, and there may be some disagreement here. I'm going to give him a B because my thought is that after watching last week's Tampa game, the first thing out of Matthew Stafford's head was, I need to get Robert Woods more involved in this game.
I hope so.
And it seems to me that he's going to look and see, okay, well, here's a guy who in his, I believe he's played 8 games against the Cardinals. He's in only one game he's had less than 5 catches and 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He has a good history against them. So some people are thinking of getting rid of him now.
There are people dropping Robert Woods.
Yeah,
they got to get Robert Woods more involved in breakfast because it's the breakfast club of Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford, and it's working out pretty well for Cooper Kupp.
Tyler Higbee, I would give him at least a C here because he's played 90% of the snaps. I saw people dropping him after week 2. I'm like, what? You know, and he came back last week. I said, you know, he's going to be involved here. Darrell Henderson, the interesting guy, he's now in. I give him a B. The Cardinals' defense is set up to rush the quarterback. They're not set up for the run. They have the third worst ranked run defense from Pro Football Focus. You know, the fourth most rushing yards. Their defense is built to stop the run. And yeah, he's got the rib injury, just like DeAndre Hopkins. But I don't know what you guys think of this. My personal belief is that I believe Sean McVay when he says that Darrell Henderson's his guy. I know they gave Sony Mitchell, he showed last week that he trusted him. I think Darrell Henderson's his guy, so if he's healthy, I think he gives him most of the work.
Sony Walkman repaid that trust with about 2 yards per carry, so you know, not worried about him factoring in personally.
No.
He had a hell of a pass block, though. That was like his main highlight.
That's always a good sign. I want to join that league, the pass block league. All right, I think that's everything for that matchup, right?
Yep, that's it.
All right, Brian, let's go over to the Lions. Kind of a dud game last week, but another opportunity against a Bears defense that's not as good as recent versions.
Yeah, and the Bears defense won't be very good at all, or definitely not as good without Khalil Mack, who is nursing a foot injury right now. Very questionable. Practiced on a limited basis on Friday. Had not practiced throughout the week before that. So we'll go under the assumption he will play. So we'll start with DeAndre Swift, give him a B. Swift currently RB3 in PPR right now. Mostly because of the receiving, averaging more than 6 receptions per game. Only 11 carries per game for Swift, though. But Coach Dan Campbell recently said, we're going to see a lot more of Swift.
Yes.
He also said something about like biting off kneecaps, too. I haven't seen that yet.
No,
so
take it with a grain of salt. We're going to talk more about DeAndre Swift later in this show.
We certainly will. Either way, it's a decent matchup for Swift. The Bears are allowing nearly 150 combo yards per game to running backs. Cleveland running backs just totaled 8 catches against Chicago last week. And for that reason, I'm still giving a starting grade to Jamal Williams. Going to give him a C, averaging 14 opportunities per game. An opportunity is a rush or a target. To the 18 opportunities from Swift, so nearly a timeshare. Again, we might see more DeAndre Swift, but why would you run Swift so much in a pretty much a lost season already for the Lions? So I'm still starting Jamal Williams this week against the Bears. Again, said they are allowing more than 150 combo yards per game to running back, so I like both in this one. You got to like T.J. Hockenson, even though he was arguably the biggest dud
of all duds last week.
The Bears have only allowed 9 tight end catches on 13 targets.
9 times.
But, man, Hockenson is not really a tight end. He's running over 60% of his routes from the slot. He's essentially a wide receiver. The Bears have a very poor secondary. And Hockenson had 2 very good games against the Bears last year. 5 catches for 54 yards and a touchdown in the first meeting. Then 7 catches for 84 yards in the second. So a safe B for T.J. Hockenson. Now to the wide receivers, not very safe at all. It's really Khalif Raymond and Quintez Cephas.
Yes.
So the Bears are top 8 in yards and touchdowns allowed to receivers in terms of the most. 5 touchdowns to the positions in 3 games. But deciphering which Lions wide receiver to use here is pretty tough. Cephas had 14 targets through the first 2 games, but saw just 1 target last week. Khalif Raymond totaled just 6 targets through the first two weeks. But last week, he saw 10 targets and caught 6 of them.
And I kind of like him because he runs out of the slot, and the slot has been a disaster position for the Bears all season.
Yep.
And so, man, nobody's going to start Khalif Raymond, but I'm telling you, the opportunity is there for a decent game this week.
Yeah, if I had to pick one, it is Raymond. I'm going to give him a C. Cephas, I guess a C as well, but only one of these guys is probably going to produce, and I'm with you, Charge. It's Khalif Raymond for me. As for Jared Goff, got to put him on the bench. Opposing quarterbacks are averaging less than 30 pass attempts per game against the Bears. And just the thought of Goff on the road in Chicago, I don't like it too much. In one quarterback leagues, easy bench. Now, when it comes to an easy bench or an easy start, it certainly doesn't speak to the Chicago Bears quarterback situation, where it's going to be a game time decision by Matt Nagy.
Oh, he's so crafty.
He's the smartest guy.
The Lions won't know what hit him when he unveils
the smartest
Justin
guy in the room.
Fields.
Just ask him. He knows offense.
I mean, Andy Dalton is dinged up. Justin Fields is dinged up. It could be Nick Foles. Whoever it is.
I would, by the way, if Dalton's not ready, I'd play Foles. At this point, I'm all about preserving Justin Fields and keeping him as far from Matt Nagy as possible. Yeah. I'm worried Nagy's going to wreck his career.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you really just need a game manager against the Lions for the most part, who are allowing more than 280 passing yards and two passing touchdowns per game to opposing quarterbacks. So I'm going to give a C to whoever starts at quarterback for the Bears, even if it's Justin Fields. Sadly, just a C for Allen Robinson as well. A brutal start to the year. A healthy 25.3% target share percentage, but is currently 72nd in receiving yards per game at 28.7. But if there's a spot to get right, it's against Detroit. Opposing wide receivers are averaging 180 yards per game as a whole. A-Rob had nearly identical games against the Lions last year, 5 catches for 74 yards and then 6 catches for 75 yards. Hopefully that is his floor here. If it's not, we might be talking about sabotage dropping Allen Robinson next week, so he better come through against the Lions. I'm not expecting Darnell Mooney to come through. Even he might not even play, but even if he does, he's on the bench. He's just not a good fit with Andy Dalton or pretty much anyone at this point who plays quarterback for the Bears. I do like Cole Kmet, though. I'm going to give him a C. Just 2 catches across his last 2 games, kind of brutal, but the Lions are allowing 82 yards per game to tight ends, which is the third most, and Kmet had 5 catches, 37 yards, and a touchdown in his last meeting with Detroit, so a C for Kmet, and I'm going to give David Montgomery an A, looking like a true bell cow after playing 82% of the snaps last week. Monty had 2 rushing touchdowns in his last meeting with the Lions. Detroit has already surrendered 6 total touchdowns to running backs, so a safe A for David Montgomery based on volume alone.
Chiefs take on the Eagles, and you know what to do with Mahomes and Hill and Kelce. Obvious A's against a secondary that was just dissected by Dak Prescott on Monday night. And in that game, they ran at will against the Eagles. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a totally different back than the kind that just ran through the Eagles. Did have a fumble last week, but he also posted his strongest running game, well, maybe ever. But that game did come against the league's lowest-ranked run defense, giving up the most yards, the Chargers. And stylistically, you know, CEH is just a different kind of runner than the guys that have had success against the Eagles. So I'm not... still not crazy about him here. And the other thing is Andy Reid doesn't care about establishing momentum for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The game after getting 100 yards throughout Clyde Edwards-Helaire's career, when he's had 100 yards, the next game he's averaged 9 carries. That's it.
If you're Andy Reid, you'd think you'd want to
get your kid going. But he's never done that in the past.
And obviously, the rare coaching revenge game for Andy Reid going up against the Eagles.
Kind of. I mean, you know, it's been 20 years or something.
Revenge
C grade for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Hardman, Robinson, Pringle on the bench, way too scattershot for me, and Josh Gordon, no dice. Not yet, not ever. Let's go to the Eagles' side of this game. Miles Sanders with a B grade. He's going to bounce back after basically being forgotten last week.
Did Doug Peterson, did he forget he was on roster last week? I mean, he averaged 13.5 yards per carry, so that was pretty good.
It was pretty good through 2 carries.
Yeah, sure.
The Chiefs have given up at least 90 combo yards to every lead back they've faced, and they've also allowed 5 touchdowns to running backs already. They are the worst run defense in the league by a wide margin, according to Pro Football Focus. And the Eagles' offensive line has provided Sanders with 4.4 yards per carry before contact. That's awfully impressive. When you get 4.5 yards before anybody's touching you, you're sitting on a good game. Bounce back coming for Miles Sanders with a B grade here. I like him in this setup. Let's go to the passing game where Jalen Hurts bounces back as well. In the past 2 games, Kansas City's allowed monster performances on the ground and through the air. Lamar Jackson, 100-yard game against KC. Justin Herbert, 4 touchdown passing game against KC. One way or another, or both, Justin Hurts is going to get it done here. Jalen Hurts, excuse me. Here's something I have not typed or uttered in years. the Eagles' receivers are better than their defensive counterparts.
Hmm. Even with Josh Gordon now on Kansas City?
Well, I meant defensive counterparts.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Jalen Reagor, Quez Watkins, and Devonta Smith are playing at a higher level than the Chiefs' cornerbacks, Charvarius Ward, Legarius Sneed, and Mike Hughes, who have Pro Football Focus rankings of 96th, 60th, and 69th. Ugh. So that is, overall, a positive set of matchups for Hurts. Obviously, I like the receivers as well. A B grade, by the way, on Hurts. A B grade on Devonta Smith. Chiefs have allowed back-to-back 100-yard receivers and four touchdowns to receivers in the past two games alone. Smith, where he runs, is going to see a lot of Charvarius Ward if he can even play. And it's an exploitable matchup. Smith averaging a healthy seven targets per game, and they're throwing to him downfield. He just needs one of these deep downfield ones to hit. Jalen Reagor gets a C. Ben, he started the season catching a lot of underneath balls. That's expanded a little bit more downfield. I love his matchup against Mike Hughes when that one pops up, which it will from time to time. And then Quez Watkins, also a C grade. He's only averaging 2.5 targets per game, so there's a ton of risk here. But he draws Legarius Sneed, second-year player, who has allowed 100% of the passes in his coverage to be completed. So we like Quez Watkins a lot in this game as well. And let's wrap up with the tight ends. Dallas Goedert has been a monster after the catch, ranking second best among tight ends at 10 yards after the catch. He's got a positive matchup with the Chiefs, who are surrendering nearly 80 yards per game to the position. So I like Dallas Goedert here. Zach Ertz used to be a something. Now he's a nothing. He's a good game last week, but the prior 2 weeks were 1 and 2 catch games. So we're going to avoid Zach Ertz. When we come back, 9 players upon whom you can take a chance. We'll tell you who they are when we return. Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly, a segment we call Take a Chance on Me. These are 9 players, not normally in your starting lineup. Many of these guys are available on the waiver wire right now. In fact, one of mine definitely is, and another one of mine may be. We start at the quarterback position. Jeff, who have you got?
I got Sam Darnold. We know the McCaffrey injury. Darnold has been averaging 294 yards through the air and has 3 rushing touchdowns. Now, some of that threat could have come from McCaffrey, but one thing here, Dallas has allowed the 4th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. You talk all the talk of, you know, the Tampa, all these passing yards they've allowed. Mm-hmm. Dallas has only allowed 3 fewer passing yards than Tampa.
Wow.
So, you know, Brady and Air Bear and Hurts, they all went for over 326 yards against them. Dallas has only had 30 running back carries against them in 30 games, and I don't think Chuba Hubbard, I don't think he gets more than 15 touches. I don't think they're going to try and grind it out with him like they might with McCaffrey to try and, you know, get things going. Both Tampa and the Chargers had a pair of receivers that have huge games against them. And then last week we saw in the second half what they did with Jalen Hurts, all the points he put up in the second half. So Sam Darnold's my guy.
Yeah, I kind of like it. That Dallas defensive line, a disaster right now. Mm-hmm. So Sam Darnold should have some extra time in the pocket.
Yep.
Brian, you're taking a chance on me, quarterback.
No Dan Arnold for...
Yeah, that hurts.
I'll bring him up later.
For Darnold, but he'll be all right. I got Ben Roethlisberger at Green Bay, unfortunately, also known as Has Ben Sauceless Burger.
Oh.
I can't take credit for that. I just merged 2 nicknames together. But Big Ben.
Nobody was giving you credit
for that. All right, good.
Clear.
No one should give Ben Roethlisberger. He shouldn't be getting a paycheck for the Steelers so far this year. He's looked horrible. Twitter reminds Ben of that every day. But he gets his best wide receiver back this week in Deontay Johnson. He might lose Chase Claypool, we'll talk about that later. But the Packers have allowed the most passing touchdowns so far with 9.
Mm. Kevin King, thank you.
No, 9
King.
Times yeah. Button bar there.
Yeah, 9.
Nine. All good.
Time. Sorry about that.
9 times.
Yes, 5 went to Jameis Winston, but Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo put up around 250 yards and 2 passing touchdowns, numbers that Roethlisberger should replicate against a Packers team that will presumably put up points at home.
Taylor Heinicke goes up against the Falcons. Falcons are destroyed by Jalen Hurts and Tom Brady before stopping Daniel Jones last week. But Daniel Jones lost his number two and three receivers in that game, so that does not count. In total, Falcons are allowing 270 yards and 2.7 passing touchdowns per game. I will take 270 and 2.7 out of Taylor Heinicke. Heinicke has decent wheels. Jalen Hurts ran for 62 rushing yards against these Falcons. Maybe he gets some part of that as well. Let's go to the running back position. Jeff.
I got Nyheim Hines. Last week he had 12 touches. First week he had 15. The second week he was uninvolved. But remember, Marlon Mack was active that week.
Mm-hmm.
So Seattle is the only team that has allowed more fantasy points to running backs. Their line is an absolute mess. To think Taylor is going to get a whole bunch of carries here, I don't think so. And so far, just one other note, Miami, they've given up their second allowed in fantasy points, like I said. Damian Harris, Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, and Peyton Barber were the running backs they faced in that. And just one other note, Hines last week, he outtouched Taylor in red zone snaps 4-1 last week.
Yeah, that's troubling for languishing Jonathan Taylor owners.
Yeah, and so when you look at this week and how this whole thing unfolds, I think that I think he's a pretty good start.
All right, Brian, your take a chance on me running back.
I got the Jets' Michael Carter at home versus the Titans. Carter currently ranks second among all running backs in missed tackles forced per touch.
Nice.
He just needs more touches.
Needs more touches.
But it appears those wheels were put in motion last week. Carter out-touched Ty Johnson 11-4. Ty Johnson did out-target Carter 5-3, but Johnson only had one catch for 6 yards. Carter finished with more catches. But the Titans are a decent matchup, allowing nearly 130 combo yards per game to running backs and 3 rushing touchdowns to the position over their last 2 games. So it's Michael Carter time.
Finally. Yeah, I know Zach Moss is pretty obvious now with 3 touchdowns in the last 2 games, but another juicy matchup on the slate here. Texans are allowing the 8th most rushing and receiving yards to opposing backs, good for 153 total yards per game. So even if Zach Moss only gets half of 153 yards, he's already sitting on a pretty good game. There should be plenty to go around here. I'll give the upside to Moss because he gets touchdowns. Singletary has seen his snap share, his yards per carry, and his targets decrease in every game, while Moss has seen his increase in every game. So the trends here lead to a big game from Zach Moss. All right, let's go to the receivers. Jeff.
I got Nelson Agholor. I think he's on a big game here. Last week, Mac Jones, with what was going on, 30 targets to Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, and him. He's played over 80% of the snaps every game.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa games have averaged 64 points a game.
That's a lot.
So, and last year when he was with the Raiders against Tampa, 5 catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown.
Wow. All right.
So
Tampa secondary is in such bad shape.
Yes.
They're dressing Richard Sherman off the street for this one.
Yes.
And you can't run on the box.
No, that's just it. And so I like him out of that group. I like him to have a good game here.
Brian, you take a chance on me, receiver.
Going back to the Jets and Braxton Berrios against the Titans. Now, yes, this is all about the revenge game for Corey Davis. We'll talk about that later. But Elijah Moore has been ruled out for New York. Jameson Crowder is supposed to make his debut, but he's nursing a groin injury. I'm not trusting the groin. I don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in. So I'm all about Berrios here against the Titans, who are allowing more than 15 catches and 220 yards per game to wide receivers. Tennessee has also yielded the second most red zone targets and the most goal-to-go touches to opposing wide receivers. So it's no surprise they have surrendered 6 touchdowns to the position already. Braxton Berrios, let's do it.
Same game. My take a chance for me receiver, Nick Westbrook Ikhine.
NWI from now on. That's it.
That's exactly what I thought when I thought of him. NWI, yes.
Julio Jones and A.J. Green have been ruled out of this game, and Nick Westbrook Ikhine will be the starter for Tennessee. He played 78% of the snaps last week, filling in for Brown, and led the team in targets, receiving yards, and he scored a touchdown last week. Legitimate sleeper against a beatable but not terrible Jets secondary. Jets' run defense has been shaky. We're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry in this game, but ultimately that may just put this team in position to help throw another short touchdown to Nick Westbrook Ikhine. Jets' corners are a bland affair. Michael Carter, Bryce Hall, and Brandon Echols ranked 21st, 43rd, and 73rd at their positions by Pro Football Focus.
Now, one thing I will throw in, though, he had that fumble after the touchdown. You know, a young guy like that, when he does something like that, next game, I look for him to bounce back, just like, you know, I'd like him as well.
That would be, we would take the bounce back game. That would be great here. Let's work in a matchup into this segment. Colts taking on the Dolphins. Jeff, you already told us that you like Nyheim Hines, so let's flip this over and let's talk about Jonathan Taylor and what to expect from him in this matchup without two starting offensive linemen for the Colts.
Offensive linemen, yeah, and actually he popped up on the injury report too. Now I don't, you know, I didn't see anything about him not playing or being limited, but boy, you know, he is tagged right now with the Aaron Jones and Derrick Henry with 13 red zone touches, like we said. But, you know, in this game with how this thing whole unfolds, it's hard to think that he may not even eclipse what Hines does in this game. My opinion is I'll still give him a B because Miami is allowing so many points to running backs. Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, thinking that he's going to come up with one of those games last year, I don't know. Carson Wentz, he's on the bench. Just, he should always be on the bench. He's no good. Michael Pittman, though, his only one, only target, I'm going to give him a B. The Dolphins just allowed three different Raiders to come up with 77 yards last week. His last two games, he's averaged 12 targets, 7 catches, and 95 yards.
Good numbers.
As long as they can keep him away from Xavier Howard, I think he puts up another good game here. I mean, the rest of everybody there, Zach Pascal, the tight ends, whatever. I mean, Zach Pascal scored the first game. Pittman, Jack Doyle, week two, had 64 yards. Other than that, no other receiver or tight end on their entire roster has had over 43 yards in any game.
Jeez.
So it's just not good. Mm-hmm. For Miami, Jacoby Brissett, I have him on the bench, although the Colts have allowed the fifth most fantasy points to wide receivers, including 7 touchdowns. That doesn't even account for A.J. Brown and Julio Jones going out. He's not going to throw 50 passes again, but I still will give Jalen Waddle a B here. He's had 3 pretty good PPR games in a row. And Mike Gesicki, I give him a B because he's even a more glorified tight end than T.J. Hockenson. If I read this correctly, he's run over 90% of his routes in coverage, a percent of his snaps in coverage. He almost is never blocking.
Yeah.
So he actually, you know, these two guys, they gave the old Reggie Bush last week. No, I mean, nobody could make 8 catches into 38 yards like Reggie Bush. But Devontae Parker, I actually put a C on him. He's seen 3 targets in each game. So if you need somebody, you know, that's a fill-in or something. Will Fuller, one of my favorite guys, but he's supposed to play this week.
He played last week, but he's fully healthy now. He's off the injury report.
Yeah, he was off
the
injury
report. And Rocky Sin is out at cornerback. I think Will Fuller's a sneaky play this week.
And you know that I love Will Fuller. He's one of my guys. It just, with this, you know, throw the ball 3 yards that they're doing, I'll give him a C because I love him. For the running game, Myles Gaskin, I can only give him a C, and I want to give him more. He's averaged over 5 yards per carry in all 3 games. He's second in broken tackles per carry. Chris Carson, Daryl Henderson, and Derrick Henry all put up solid games on the Colts, but they did just lose their starting center, Michael Dieter. And we saw Malcolm Brown last week.
Yeah, that hurt.
And he got 41% of the snaps last week and was one who scored. And in the red zone, Malcolm Brown has out-touched Myles Gaskin 4-1. I just wish they'd like Myles Gaskin more. He's a good football player, but I can only give him a C. And Malcolm Brown is speculative on the bench just because you don't know what you're going to get from him.
We're not starting Malcolm Brown. We're not chasing last week's touchdown. Let's try to work in one more quick matchup if we can, Brian, because I don't think there's a lot to say about the Texans in a really tough matchup with the Bills.
Definitely not. Benched all the running backs for Houston. Opposing running backs were averaging just 18 touches and 92 combo yards per game against the Bills. An easy bench for any Texans running back. Brandon Cooks, one of the better stories in the NFL, especially for the Texans so far. But just to see in this one with Davis Mills at quarterback, Cooks has a target share percentage of 43.5%, which is insanely high. Very good. But what is
smart of Davis Mills, by the way. If I'm Davis Mills, I'm throwing the ball constantly to my best receiver.
What is also very good, or I should say, who is also very good, is Tre'Davious White, cornerback for the Bills, who is all but guaranteed to shadow Brandon Cooks in this game. White has yet to allow a score or more than 52 yards in his coverage this year. Could be a long day for Cooks, just a C for him. Everyone else on the Texans is on the bench. Anthony Miller, Chris Conley, Davis Mills, easy bench for those guys.
Yeah.
Over to the Buffalo side, Zach Mills was your take a chance on me running back charge, and understandably so. I'll give Devin Singletary a C here as well. He has taken a back seat to Moss, but he should get a chance to produce against Houston, who is allowing more than 150 combo yards per game to running backs. A C for Singletary if you're needy at running back. Stephon Diggs going to give him an A despite the slow start. Three straight weeks. It all comes together here. You would hope so. Three straight weeks below 70 yards, but he is still averaging more than 10 targets per game. If Diggs gets that kind of volume against Houston, he'll be just fine. Notable wide receivers against the Texans this year: DJ Chark, 3 for 86 and a touchdown. Marvin Jones, 5 for 77 and a touch. DJ Moore had 8 for 126 last week, all very comparable to Diggs, who's pretty much better than all those guys anyway. Cole Beasley, Emmanuel Sanders, going to give them both a B. Worried the game script could quickly favor the Bills' run game in this one, though, but you got to give both these guys a starting grade. Beasley is second in catches behind only Davante Adams and Cooper Kupp so far.
Way undervalued right now.
Big time undervalued. He also saw 5 of the 6 red zone targets among Bills' wide receivers last week, so a popular target in the red zone for Josh Allen. Love Beasley this week. I do like Emmanuel Sanders, not as much as Beasley, but Sanders played 80% of the snaps last week, certainly enough to make him startable in most formats. Unlike Gabriel Davis, remember him?
I know. Yeah. Don't even know what you're talking about.
He's on the bench. But Dawson Knox, tight end, is not on the bench. Going to give him a B here. Knox is blocking way less this year. His pass block rate has dropped from 16% to just 4%.
Wow.
Houston has only allowed one touchdown to tight end so far, but they have allowed the fourth most fantasy points to the position. Makes Knox a viable start. And Josh Allen, obvious A. I will throw in that Houston has allowed 3 rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks already.
That is it.
Love all the receivers, so easy A, Josh Allen.
No doubt about it. The Vikings just handled the Seattle Seahawks, but a much tougher defense on the docket. We'll tell you what to expect from Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, and our best speculation on Dalvin Cook's availability for this game when we return to Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back. Final segment of hour number one of Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchian, Jeff Moss, Brian Johnson with you. If you have not yet checked out Guillotine Leagues, we encourage you to do that. GuillotineLeagues.com, the freshest new way to play fantasy football. You, instead of head-to-head, the low-scoring team each week gets chopped, and all their players go to the waiver wire, where it is pandemonium for the rest of us as we bid upon a bounty of new players. All you have to do is not finish last. In any given week, last man standing wins.
If you ain't last, you're first.
Yeah, that's right.
First. Sure.
You don't have to be the fastest antelope getting chased by the cheetah. You just have to not be the slowest one. That's how the Guillotine Leagues work. We've got a block of matchups for you, beginning with Browns taking on the Vikings. Let's start on the Browns side. Nick Chubb is an obvious A against a Vikings team giving up almost 5 yards per carry. Fellow workhorses Joe Mixon and Chris Carson have already found the end zone against the Vikings. Chubb will as well. Kareem Hunt gets a B grade. He's been very effective on the ground. He's averaging 5.5 yards per carry, and his 7 targets last week was as most as a Brown, and he remains heavily involved in the passing game. Vikings have allowed a 100% completion rate on throws to running backs. How about that? Wow. So this could be a very nice game for Kareem Hunt. Let's go to the passing game. I like Baker Mayfield. Working against Mayfield, as always, is volume. Stefanski loves to run the ball. He's throwing the third fewest passing plays, just 26 per game, and the second fewest pass play percentage. But when Baker throws, he's got plus matchups all over the field, and I'm going to talk about him right now. He's got a B grade. Odell Beckham has a B grade. Returned last week. And at this time last week, I was telling people, let's just watch Odell Beckham and let's just see how involved he was. Well, the answer was very involved. He had 7 more targets than the next closest receiver on the team. He played 52 snaps, so no hesitation on the knee here. He played both sides of the field evenly, and he's got plus matchups against both Patrick Peterson on the left side of the field and especially Bashaud Breeland on the right side of the field. And to drill down on that more, let's talk about the C grade on Donovan Peoples-Jones. He hasn't gotten a lot of volume, but he's looked good with the throws he's gotten, and his snap count's really high. 72% is a very high snap count. But most importantly, he predominantly runs his routes on the right side of the field, which brings back into play Bashaud Breeland, who has allowed the most receptions of any player in the NFL and the most passing touchdowns of any player in the NFL. His passer rating allowed in his coverage is 1 point shy of perfect. That's Bashaud Breeland. So that's why Donovan Peoples-Jones is a legitimate sleeper this week. Now, I also like all of the tight ends in totality for the Browns. The Vikings have allowed the sixth most yards to position, but the problem is they use them interchangeably, and you're never going to know which guy to start between Hooper and Njoku or Bryant. So I've got them all on the bench, unless you're playing team tight end. And if you are, you're playing wrong. Let's go to the Vikings side. Dalvin Cook has a tricky matchup here. It's not clear if he will be the starter or if he will be available. And if he is, you have to sweat re-injury to his ankle. And it's a tough matchup. The Browns are allowing the fifth fewest rushing yards and the fourth fewest yards per carry. They've yet to allow rushing touchdown all year. They drafted in the second round linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, and he has been awesome. He has Pro Football Focus's second highest run defending grade among all linebackers, not just rookies. And when I roll all that together, the most I can muster for a letter grade on Dalvin Cook is a B, and I nearly moved him to a C. I'm very worried about all of those elements working against Dalvin Cook in this game. Alexander Mattison gets a C because I think there's a scenario here where Cook either gets hurt or Mattison starts, or that they just give more work to Mattison because he's healthy and effective, and he looked great last week. Tough matchup, though, so all the highest I can give him is a C grade. Let's go to the passing game. Kirk Cousins has finished as a top 10 fantasy quarterback in 9 of his last 11 games. Mm-hmm. The quarterback nobody wanted to draft.
Nobody wanted to draft.
Including all 3 of his games this year. I am nervous about backup right guard turned left tackle Rashad Hill trying to contain Myles Garrett, fresh off a 4.5 sack game. And the Browns improved their secondary in the offseason with free agent Troy Hill. First-round pick Greg Newsome may not play in this game, and if he doesn't, that helps a lot. Be sure to watch his status, but I think he goes. They also got Denzel Ward back from last year's lost season. This is a good secondary. And obviously, they've completely throttled Justin Fields and Davis Mills, and this Cleveland defense held Patrick Mahomes in check for 3 of 4 quarters. I'm nervous about Kirk Cousins, and I've only got a C grade on him for this game.
Yeah, remember, Clint Kubiak told us, Rashad Hill, quote, Rashad is our guy.
Well, they don't have a choice. Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson get B grades here. Browns have seen 3 really good receivers, Tyreek Hill, Brandon Cooks, and Allen Robinson. Hill and Cooks posted monster games. First-round cornerback Greg Newsome may miss this game, as I mentioned. That will push Greedy Williams into a starting role. And Williams is okay backup, but the advantage here would go to Thielen and Jefferson if he's on the field. Both Thielen and Jefferson, elite route runners, probably 2 of the 5 or 6 best in the league, and they earned separation. But I'm just not sure that Kirk Cousins is going to have time to do more than throw dump-offs and short passes to those guys. And it's hard to turn that into fantasy relevancy, so just the B grade for them. Tyler Conklin's coming off a 7-catch game, and you might be inclined to start him here, but he's got glute and elbow injuries, and he's going to be asked to block and chip on Myles Garrett, so I'm nervous about him here, and I've got a bench grade on him as well. Next matchup, Carolina taking on Dallas, and Chuba Hubbard making his big debut as a starter. I thought he looked very good last week. Jeff, what do you think about him against a banged up but to this point effective Dallas run defense?
Well, I agree with you. When he got into the game right after McCaffrey got hurt, he looked a little bit shaky. But as the game went along, he looked pretty comfortable. And then I first thought a C, but I'm actually going to move him up to a B. I think he touches the ball at least 15 times. Like you said, Dallas's defensive line is having problems. Now, Dallas has only had teams average carrying the ball 10 times a game against them. So there's not really a very good baseline. But but keep in mind, the last two games, Austin Eckler, 9 carries for 61 yards, and Miles Sanders, his 2 carries were 27 yards.
Yeah.
So
establish the run.
So exactly. So I think they're going to use him, and I don't worry at all about Royce Freeman. Actually, you know, he was dragged the piano. He actually wasn't bad, but you know, he's there for. I don't think they're going to use him very much. I think they go with Albert. I give him a B. Sam Darnold, I give him a B. He was my take a chance guy. You heard me talk about him. DJ Moore, I'm still giving him an A, and I don't care if it's Trayvon Diggs, Stephon Diggs, Tay Diggs. I don't care who it is. After the trade of Dan Arnold, Sam Darnold has 65 targets to pass catchers. 31 of them have went to DJ Moore. Mm. And the other thing, like I had mentioned in Take a Chance, Dallas has given up the fourth most passing yards. So, yeah, Diggs has 3 interceptions. They have 6 as a team.
Yeah.
I don't shy away from DJ Moore in this one. Robbie Anderson, I've seen people dropping him. He's the same as Robert Woods to me. I think they watched game film there and said, we got to get this guy the ball. I mean, with Teddy Bridgewater, he showed he was a really good possession receiver, so I would give him a C. Terrence Mitchell, he's going to be involved. I wouldn't start him, 30 catches. And the tight ends, after Dan Arnold was gone, they had 3 combined catches. Nothing. Tight ends are nothing.
Agreed.
No. For Dallas, Dak Prescott, I give him a B. I think this game turns more into the Tampa game the first week. We have the one caveat here. Carolina has had 14 sacks already, and we know
this defense is legit. We're going to talk more about that next segment, actually.
And you know, with Dallas is what they have going out the offensive line now. Justin Burris and J.C. Horner, they're both gone, so Carolina's secondary will be a little challenge here. Zeke, I'm giving him a B here. I know the Panthers have given up 94 rushing yards in 3 games.
Total,
exactly. And like you said, we'll get to that. I don't think he's going to get to 100 carry yards, but remember last week, they really tried to get him involved in scoring touchdowns. Tony Pollard, he's had some good games, but here with this defense, it's hard to say that you could actually start him. CeeDee Lamb, I'm still going to give him a B. The 2 competitive games they've had, 24 targets and 15 catches. Now he's going to have to contend with Dante Johnson. But again, moving him around, I still like him in this spot. Amari Cooper, it's all about the ribs with him. First game, spectacular, gets the ribs, 2 games. I still am going to give him a B. I think he's always volume dependent. So depending on how you think this game is going to go, if you think Dak's going to throw a lot of passes, he's your guy. Cedric Wilson, you know, on the bench, although he did score last week. Now, Dalton Schultz, I give him a B. He's a top. He had a good game last week, but he was also involved week one, to remember. So he's obviously jumped Blake Jarwin. He's taken roughly 70% of the snaps, so I would start him. Blake Jarwin, obviously, on the bench.
Okay. Brian, our final matchup of this segment, Giants take on the Saints in 2 offenses that have had a lot of struggles this year.
Yeah, and 2 pretty good defenses. We'll start on the Giants side just to see for Saquon Barkley. Last week saw season highs in carries, targets, and snap percentage. That is good.
As predicted by some people on this very show.
All of us? I feel like
I said people, plural.
Okay, all right, good.
I didn't say a person.
So that was good, but what is bad is the matchup for Saquon. The Saints are allowing less than 50 rushing yards per game to opposing running backs, just 36 receiving yards per game. So just a C for Barkley behind that awful offensive line and awful quarterback we'll talk about for about a second pretty soon. Over to the receivers for the Giants, Kenny Galladay gets a C. Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton have been ruled out, which makes Galladay the top option at wide receiver, which also means he'll draw plenty of coverage from Marshon Lattimore, who owns a 42.6 passer rating in his coverage. So just a C for Kenny Galladay. Temper your expectations there. Now, Colin 2L Johnson will start on the outside, most likely opposite Kenny Galladay, with Kadarius Toney in the slot. Got them both on the bench, though. We just got to see what we got with both of those guys, and not a great matchup. So they're on the bench, as is Evan Engram. The Saints are top 10 in fewest receptions and yards allowed to tight ends and have yet to surrender a score to the position. So Engram is on the bench, and of course, so is Daniel Jones. That's a huge bench for Daniel Jones. Over to the New Orleans side, Alvin Kamara, going to give him an A. The Giants are allowing more than 5 yards per carry and 130 combo yards per game to opposing running backs. They'll continue to be without star linebacker Blake Martinez as well. This game will run and throw through Kamara. Love him here. He gets an A. Marquez Callaway, Deontay Harris, Kenny Stills,
what?
Chris Hogan?
What?
These are guys getting targeted at wide receiver. for the Saints. They're all on the bench. I'm not even going to go into this anymore. The Giants do have decent corners in James Bradbury and Adoree Jackson. This is going to be all about Kamara. I will throw a dart at Adam Trautman, though. He gets a C. Juwan Johnson is a threat, but Trautman seems to be the top option at tight end. The Giants have surrendered touchdowns to the likes of Albert Aku. I'm going to butcher
Albert O. Just Albert O.
Albert O, Ricky Seals-Jones, and Lee Smith. Lee Smith is a retired Major League Baseball pitcher.
Lee Smith.
And lastly, Jameis Winston. He's on the bench. 5 touchdowns in week 1, but his pass attempts have gone from 20 to 22 to 21. Sean Payton, seriously mitigating risk for Winston, so he's on the bench.
Yeah, totally agree with all of that with Winston. Unfortunately, it hasn't come together like we'd hoped through week 1. What will come together is this whole second hour of Fantasy Football Weekly coming back to you in moments, including 3 tough questions. Find out if you can go 3-0 against our panel of experts when we return Fantasy Football Weekly. Number 2, Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian, guillotineleagues.com. You can get all my player rankings for free at guillotineleagues.com. And also with the Guillotine Fantasy Football app on your phone. All my player rankings available there. Even if you don't play in a guillotine league, you can get all my rankings for free right through the app, which is awfully convenient. My co-hosts today, Brian Johnson, guillotineleagues.com, and Jeff Moss, a frequent past contributor to guillotineleagues.com and Chop Podcast. This is a game we call 3 Tough Questions. I will pepper my co-hosts with 3 tough questions. Play along, see if you can go 3-0.
Tough question number 1.
Do fantasy owners need to duck the Carolina defense, Jeff?
I'm going to go with no, with an asterisk. And the big reason is that their 3 games, not just were they against the Jets, Saints, and Titans. In both the Jets and the Titans games, they were playing as a quarterback making their first NFL start.
Yeah, Texans, right.
So, and the only 2 real NFL fantasy receivers that they've been gone up against, Corey Davis had 94 yards and 2 touchdowns. Brandon Cook had 9 and 112. Now, I will say this, though, from when Matt Rhule has come in and brought Phil Snow with them, they really have made improvements, but I really need to see them against Dallas here.
All right. Brian, do fantasy owners need to duck the Carolina defense?
Yeah, I'm at no, too. Like Jeff said, the competition has not been that great. Jets and Saints at home, and then at the Texans. As Jeff said, Corey Davis and Brandon Cooks both had good games. They are basically the only good offensive players on both of those teams, okay. And they still came through. So, no, I'm not ducking the Carolina defense just yet when it comes to starting my guys.
For all but the best of guys, the answer is yes. This is a good defense, and we need to shake the temptation of everything we've learned about the Carolina defense in the past. Remember, over the past 2 seasons, Carolina dedicated all of last year's draft to defense and half of this year's draft to defense, mm-hmm. And it's paying off. Carolina ranks, they're giving up 10 points per game, so even if they regress a lot from that, it's still great. They're number 1 in yards allowed. They're number 1 in first downs allowed. They're number 1 in rushing yards allowed. They're number 1 in passing yards allowed. And sure, the Jets, Saints, and Texans aren't great, but this level of domination is remarkable. Sure, you're not going to bench your studs against Carolina, but everybody else you have to start with care.
Tough question number 2.
Detroit running back DeAndre Swift is currently running back 3 in points scored in PPR leagues. Brian, is that a trend or mirage?
It's definitely a trend. He looks fantastic. Easily, the eye test tells you he's the best running back from last year's class. He should be on the Chiefs right now, but they went with CEH instead. But Swift looks incredible. He's 3rd in yards created per touch through the first 3 weeks. An amazing receiver and runner of the ball. My only concern is the season gets so lost for Detroit as time moves on that they try to preserve him for the future, not just like run him into a wall for no reason.
In the fantasy playoffs.
But full-on trend for me. Swift looks like the real deal.
Is DeAndre Swift a trend or mirage, Jeff?
Well, I don't want to agree, but I have to.
You don't have to agree.
But I am going to agree. And the reason is when I looked at this list, Jamal Williams, who was 10th on this list. So clearly from Dan Campbell and Anthony Lynn, this is what we're getting for their offense. And now he's had more receiving yards and rushing yards in all three games. But as we as Brian mentioned earlier, they want to see more of him. And with Jamal Williams getting that much volume, I just don't see them going away from what they're doing. I mean, they have Hockenson and Jamal Williams and Swift. I think we keep seeing them there.
The correct answer is Mirage.
At least
as a top three runner. I believe he's going to be closer to a top 12 runner. And let me explain why. Purely as a runner, I don't think he's even better than Jamal Williams. Pro Football Focus grades the two identically as runners. He's 50th in yards after contact. If you watch his running plays, Swift looks like a guy.
Sure.
Now, the PPR production gives him a sustainable floor, especially on a bad team. The Lions will see a lot of negative game scripts, and that's going to cut down on Swift's carries, but the receptions are always going to be there, and I love that part of his game, and that's why he's going to remain a viable every-week fantasy starter. But at a top three level, it is a mirage.
Tough question number three.
What is the appropriate level of panic for Atlanta running back Mike Davis owners? Is it none, some, or a bowel-loosening level of existential dread, what we call bloed? Jeff.
Well, for me, and a CHOP podcast we did earlier, I was a big Mike Davis guy. Now the bowels are out. And it's not even just because of Cordell Patterson. For me, it's how the schedule fits together. Next 4 weeks, they have the bye, and they have Washington this week. They have Miami and the Jets, two decent games. The 7 weeks after that, Carolina twice, the Saints, Tampa Bay, and Dallas.
Brutal. Brutal.
So you look at that's basically the rest of the regular season. You got maybe four spots in a flex spot that you're going to play him.
All right, so you're taking bloat.
All right, Brian,
what's the appropriate level of panic for Mike Davis owners?
I'm full-on bloat about Mike Davis, especially based on him being drafted as an RB2, essentially, in the summer. Cordarrelle Patterson is the running back you want for the Falcons. He's number one in yards created per touch among running backs. He's RB10 in PPR. He's also wide receiver 16 in PPR.
That's nuts.
So I don't want to hear about what site you have him designated at as wide receiver running back, but Patterson is stealing the show in that backfield, so blowed all the way.
The correct answer is a bowel-loosening level of existential dread. I like that he's been thrown to 17 times, but Mike Davis has turned it into 22 passing yards per game. That's it. The entire Falcons offense looks bad. Matt Ryan looks like he's on his last legs. And Davis is just a guy. He ranks 20th in yards after contact. He ranks 19th in forced missed tackles. He doesn't have a run longer than 12 yards. There's no explosiveness there. And just two carries inside the 6-yard line, and he didn't score on either one of them. But Cordarrelle Patterson has. Yeah. Even when you're losing carries at the stripe to Cordarrelle Patterson, it is a bad sign. And then we're going to add in complicating factors for Mike Davis, like a bad defense that leads to negative game scripts, and Pro Football Focus's 21st ranked run blocking line that just doesn't give Mike Davis much to work with. Blowed.
Yeah.
Let's go back to a couple of matchups. Well, one in particular. The Washington football team taking on the Atlanta Falcons. And let's start with the passing game. I already told you earlier, Taylor Heinicke was my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback with a B grade. Terry McLaurin with an A grade.
Terry McLaurin.
In fact, let's give him a little fantasy aardvark here. He survived a tough matchup with Tre'Davious White last week, and now this should be much easier as he toys with former teammate Fabian Moreau in this game. He's allowing 86% of the passes in his coverage to be completed, and Fabian Moreau's already given up two touchdowns. He's only had two red zone targets all year, and that's a little bit troubling for McLaurin, but he can score from distance. Opposing number one receivers are averaging 70 receiving yards and a full touchdown per game against the Falcons. A grade for Terry McLaurin in this one. Staying with the passing game, Logan Thomas with an A grade. It's touchdown time here. Atlanta's yielded the most red zone targets, the most red zone touches, and the most goal-to-go touches to tight ends. So it's no surprise They've surrendered the most touchdowns of the position already. Logan Thomas leads Washington with 3 red zone targets, and he caught all of them, converting 2 of those 3 into touchdowns. It is touchdown time for Thomas. And how about a starting grade for Adam Humphries? Nobody's going to start him, but if you're in a pinch, he's actually a sneaky play against slot cornerback Isaiah Oliver, who allowed a whopping 7 touchdowns last year and has already given up a touchdown this year. Humphries on the field enough. He's on the field about 68% of Washington snaps, so he's on the field enough that he could make a difference here, so I've got a C grade on him. Curtis Samuel's going to come back for this game, and he was my premature speculation player last week. Now he's going to be active, but his groin injury, you'll remember, he suffered this groin injury in OTAs, so he missed a good chunk of OTAs. He missed the entire training camp. Then he suffered the relapse to the groin injury right before the start of the regular season, missed 3 games there. Dude hasn't played football in 3 months. So I don't think we're starting Curtis Samuel yet, but let's watch and see what happens, even if he's active as expected for this game. J.D. McKissic is a bench grade. The Falcons haven't allowed a touchdown through the air to a runner in over 1 year of games. And over that year of games, the average total team receiving numbers to running backs is just 29 yards. So I don't think McKissic gets anything done in this one. Let's go over to the Atlanta side. And let's start with your guy,
okay,
Kyle Pitts.
Let's do this.
Let's go Kyle Pitts right off the bat.
All right.
Now, you have been Kyle Pitts, first overall player in the draft, position 101.
That's a bit of an exaggeration.
A grades in your matchups.
I have been
the rationalist on Kyle Pitts all along. And I'm giving him a B grade this week. Not a bad grade. It's a B grade. He has garnered the 7th most targets among tight ends, and he draws a very positive matchup, in particular with linebacker John Bostic this week, who has allowed 197 receiving yards on 15 catches, most of it to tight ends so far already. He's the 2nd worst graded coverage linebacker by Pro Football Focus. I love the matchup for Kyle Pitts. Tight ends have seen the 3rd most red zone targets against Washington. So I think Kyle Pitts breaks his touchdown maiden this week.
Again, he is essentially playing wide receiver, though. Only 26% of his snaps taken in line, as opposed to a guy like Darren Waller, who's over 50%. He's in the slot or he's outside all the time. But I love Pitts.
Let's talk Calvin Ridley, who this game's got slump buster written all over it for Ridley. He's been very involved in the offense. He's averaging 10 targets a game, which is great. And the football team's secondary, which I thought was going to be good, just isn't so far, giving up 247 yards per game to the receiver position. 2nd worst in the league. And they've allowed at least one receiver to hit 94 yards every week. If one receiver is going to hit 94 yards this week, it's going to be Calvin Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
Cornerbacks William Jackson and Kendall Fuller are no match here. So I like Ridley a B grade. Also, with the quasi-passing game, Cordarrelle Patterson, the Falcons' utility player, continues to get increasing workload, and he's delivering on it. The Washington defense has been a major disappointment so far, although they are ranked number 1 in tackling by Pro Football Focus, so maybe they get a little better there. They especially lock down pass-catching running backs like Patterson. They're giving up a league-low 8 receptions on the season to running backs and just 47 receiving yards to running back. So I don't think Cordarrelle Patterson keeps the mojo going this week, and I've got just a C grade on him. And as for Matt Ryan, his play's been better lately with multiple touchdowns and back-to-back efficient games. The Washington secondary isn't nearly as good as expected, and Ryan's got favorable matchups on the field, which I do like and I've already outlined for you. So I like him here okay, and I've got a C grade on Matt Ryan. And then lastly, Mike Davis, who we just talked about a minute ago. No runner has topped 60 yards against Washington, and they're allowing just 3.5 yards per carry. Davis is locked into this improbable timeshare with Cordarrelle Patterson, and I don't see that changing here. And just the 2 carries inside the 6-yard line that I mentioned, and neither scored, so I can't even tell you there's much of a touchdown opportunity for Davis in this game. So probably ought to be a bench grade, but I'm still giving him a C on the prospect of him getting to 50 total yards.
Again, Patterson, RB10 right now. If he finishes the year as a top 12 running back, that's one of the biggest, that's the biggest surprise in the history of fantasy football.
Almost.
The 12th reincarnation.
Unbelievable. When we come back, Seahawks take on the 49ers. It's a battered 49ers secondary, and it could be a gigantic game for the receivers and quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson. We'll talk more about that when we come back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. We've got a block of matchups to get to. We'll break down these games fantasy style with letter grades on every player. We begin with the Seahawks taking on the 49ers. And Jeff, this is a 49ers secondary in disarray. Quan Williams is out. They may be starting off the street, Buster Screen, the undead corpse of Josh Norman and Drake Kirkpatrick at cornerback. They've got rookie Diamador Lenore, who's been actually okay, and he's in the mix as well. But this secondary is a mess right now, and here comes Russell Wilson, and it looks like he's going to have all his weapons for this game.
Yeah, and here's one interesting stat on running back is 9 games in San Francisco over Russell Wilson's career, he's never thrown for over 258 passing yards, and he's never thrown for more than 2 touchdowns in
Shocking.
Any game.
Yeah.
That's going out the window this week. Like you mentioned, you had to go to the remains of Josh Norman, and now you're going to bust your screen door. I mean,
the busted screen door.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson's an A. He has to be, which, of course, then leads to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, both A's. Metcalf over 11.5 targets per game in his 4 games against San Francisco. Now, last year, season finale, he only had 21 yards against him, but throw that out the window. He had three touchdowns in the 2 games there. He's going to see all kinds of stuff. Tyler Lockett the same way. Last year, season finale, one of his best fantasy games that he's had, 12 catches, 90 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The first 2 games this year, over 100 yards. Last week, the off game, he did get dinged, and he got the bulk of Patrick Peterson, but obviously he's an A as well. I'm going to give a B to Chris Carson. He's averaged over 6 yards per carry in his 2 road starts. He's going to get 16 touches. That's just what he gets. And last year, he didn't do much in San Francisco, but I mean, he's going to make hay out of this, but that's, you had him last year, you have him this year. He's going to touch the ball 16 times. He's going to make something out of there, so I still give him a B. And the only other guy that I would have recommended out here was Gerald Everett. He just went on the COVID list. So,
yeah, may not play in this.
Those 3 guys really could account for a lot of
I think Freddie Swain's a deep sleeper.
Yeah, and I saw you mention him as well.
If
yeah.
Buster Screen is the starting slot receiver off the street,
yeah.
If he's starting, Freddie Swain is a nice
yeah,
deep
I saw
sleeper.
That name. Yeah, I saw that name you threw out there. Yeah, we'll definitely throw him in here. San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo, on the bench, last 3 games against San Francisco, he has 1 touchdown pass, but he should put up better numbers. Why? Because Seattle's defense is awful. Oh, their cornerbacks might be the highlight of their defense, and none is in Pro Football Focus's top 50. So Deebo Samuel is an obvious A here.
Yeah, I love him this week.
Julio Jones and Justin Jefferson just each went over 100 yards over them. Deebo Samuel had over 100 yards in both games against Seattle last year. The only thing with him is that he doesn't get into the end zone. He scored twice in his last 9 games, but really it doesn't make a whole lot of difference here. Brandon Ayuk, I've moved him up to a B because he's now obviously re-involved in the offense. Last week, he had the 1 touchdown. He had another one that just got tipped away and dropped. Last year against Seattle, he had 8 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown in the game. He's trending in the right direction. He's obviously now back in part of the offense. Trey Sermon could have a big game this week. Elijah Mitchell, as we've seen, he has not had contact yet. I don't think he's going to play this week.
Yeah, usually if you don't, his practice was so light that he was wearing the red
exactly.
non-contact jersey normally quarterbacks have.
He's had no...
That's a bad sign for his availability here.
And Seattle against running backs, oh boy. Dead last in fantasy points. So far, Jonathan Taylor, 116 combo yards. Travis Henry, 237. Alexander Mattison, 171.
Mm-hmm.
And I think last week now, Trey Sermon... I think game script got him a little bit last week. One thing I really was impressed with was his move at the goal line.
Yeah, that was a nice play.
Yeah, and so if Mitchell is out and Trey Sermon is your guy this week, I give him a B for sure, and he may be an A because Seattle's defense just awful. George Kittle hasn't practiced all week. Now, I still, you know, with him, I'd still give him a B because he, week one and week seven, we saw with him really good, but he hasn't scored in seven career games against Seattle.
That's weird.
It is weird. And he actually has only scored twice in his last 11 games. So, and with the calf injury, I would only give him a B. One thing to note here, the last six games between these two teams have had at least 47 points scored.
Mm.
So offense, plenty of offense here. If you're on the defensive side, you know, a couple of these fringe guys, remember, there's going to be points scored here.
Titans take on the Jets, Brian. No A.J. Brown, no Julio Jones, so Derrick Henry's going to have like 40 carries in this game.
Yeah, fantasy Fonzie for Henry. The Jets are allowing nearly 160 combo yards per game and have yielded the most red zone touches to running backs. No surprise, they've allowed four rushing touchdowns to running backs over the last 2 weeks. And I would like to mention, 12 catches for Henry so far.
Yeah,
his career
baby.
High
yep.
for a full season, of course, is 19.
Yeah, he's almost there.
So he might break his career high record in this game. As you mentioned, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones have both been ruled out. That made Nick Westbrook Ikhine?
I believe it is Ikhine.
Again, it's just it's NWI around here. He is your take a chance on me wide receiver charge. I like that call.
Yes.
I'm going to put Chester Rogers and Racy McMath.
You're just
6'3" rookie at LSU. He was drafted. I never knew he existed. I'm keeping my eye on him, but I got Rodgers and McMath on the bench. The Jets are allowing only 130 yards per game to wide receivers. You just don't have to throw against the Jets, really. And for that reason, I've got tight end Anthony Brooks on the bench as well. He should make his return from injury, but the Jets not allowing any production to tight ends because no one needs to throw on them, basically. But I will give Ryan Tannehill a C, even though I just poo-pooed the passing game or the lack of the need for a passing game against the Jets. The Jets haven't given up much to opposing quarterbacks, but they face Sam Darnold, Mac Jones, Teddy Bridgewater. They also haven't had to throw much, but I will give Tannehill a C grade in this one. Over to the Jets side, Michael Carter was my take a chance on me running back.
And I like that call, too.
Mm-hmm. He is the only running back worth starting in this game, that's for sure. Corey Davis, I'm going to give him a B in a bona fide revenge game narrative here. He stated he was hurt that the Titans let him walk in free agency.
Really? All right. So there is a little, it's more than just the money. There's some sour feelings. I like that.
There is a chip on the shoulder. And again, I mentioned this in TACOM. Tennessee is allowing more than 15 catches and 220 yards per game to opposing wide receivers. They have yielded the second most red zone targets and the most goal-to-go touches to opposing wide receivers. So a B for Corey Davis. That made Braxton Berrios my take a chance on me wide receiver. Jameson Crowder is making his return from the groin injury, his season debut, I should say. I got to see what we get out of Crowder. We're not so sure he'll finish the game. So I got him on the bench for now. And guess where Zach Wilson is?
On the bench.
On the bench.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
That is all for the Jets.
Really, the Jets made a mistake in not keeping Darnold, and then they had that number two pick in the draft, and trading that number two pick for, they could have gotten three first rounders or something, right? And just moved down and just piled up picks. And they could have kept Sam Darnold and, figured to just Darnold would be better without Adam Gase, which he already is better without Adam Gase.
Absolutely.
So I think they made a tactical blunder there. Ravens take on the Broncos. Let's talk this one through. Lamar Jackson returned to practice on Friday, and he looks like a full go for this game, and he gets a B grade from me. He has thrown zero or one touchdown in half of his games going back to the middle of last year, and exactly one touchdown in all three of his games this year. Denver has absolutely hammered the wobbly quarterbacks they've seen so far, holding them to an average of just 182 yards and less than one touchdown pass per game. So I don't think you're going to get much through the air from Lamar Jackson in this one. So will you get fantasy points on the ground? Well, he's topping 58 rushing yards in every game this year. And Denver allowed Daniel Jones a rushing touchdown in week one. And they gave up a league-worst 8 quarterback rushing touchdowns last year, although the defense was all banged up last year. So I think Lamar Jackson does enough on the ground here to keep him with the B grade. But there is clunker potential in Lamar Jackson this week.
Agreed.
Let's talk about his receivers. Marquise Brown might get some extra looks to rebuild his confidence after he dropped 2 absolute touchdowns and a third one that was probably going to be a touchdown. So maybe they go back to him a few extra times to rebuild him a little bit. It's a tough matchup with the Denver secondary that currently ranks 9th in yards per game to receivers and tied for 2nd with just 2 scores allowed to wideouts. Brown could still find success on the outside against Kyle Fuller, whose coverage grades out at 42nd among 52 cornerbacks by Pro Football Focus. So there's still something to like there. But I've just got a C grade on Marquise Brown in this game. C grade on Mark Andrews, because the Broncos have been very stout against tight ends. And that's not saying much when they've seen Tyler Croft, James O'Shaughnessy, and Kyle Rudolph. So you know, maybe they're more vulnerable than we know. Andrews returned to form last week with a 100-yard game, but he has yet to see a red zone target, which is very troubling. And as for the Baltimore runners, for the love of God, who knows, right? I mean, this thing is so messed up right now between Williams and Murray and Freeman. Collectively, they all did nothing in a juicy matchup with the Lions last week. And here comes a brutal matchup. Denver ranks number two in rushing yards allowed, number two in fewest rushing attempts, and is allowing just 3.2 yards per carry, so they're all on the bench. Lastly, Rashad Bateman could make his debut here. We don't know yet. It might be a game-time decision, but we're going to sit and watch and see what his usage is before we try him in a very tough matchup. All right, let's go over to the Denver side. I want to start with the running backs. Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams just get C grades each. The Ravens are allowing the ninth fewest rushing yards per game, and no back has topped 47 rushing yards. That's it. And despite that success, they are giving up some touchdowns, so maybe one of the other finds the end zone here. Gordon's a little dinged up coming into this game, so Javonte Williams might get the slight edge. Wouldn't that be nice? Every week, I'm like, can we just unleash Javonte Williams?
Are we going to take away Melvin Gordon's 70-yard touchdown run again?
No, we're not.
Okay.
They did that last week. That's enough. There's also, they're giving up the second most receiving yards, and they've let opposing running backs catch 21 of 22 targets on the year. So I think Williams and Gordon can help you a little bit more through the air than they normally do, and a C grade for those guys. Let's talk about the passing game. Teddy Bridgewater with a C grade. He's one of last year's bottom 10 passers in average distance. This year, he is a top 10 passer in average distance. And he hasn't skipped a beat without Jerry Jeudy, because Tim Patrick has stepped in nicely. The Ravens secondary was shredded in weeks 1 and 2, and the only team they've held down was the Lions. So I could see Teddy cobbling his way to a decent game here, and I've got a C grade on him. Cortland Sutton gets an A. He leads the league in average depth of target at 16.5 yards, which is great. And Teddy, throwing these long balls, as I mentioned, all you need is one connection there. The Ravens secondary is prone to allowing big plays from receivers. They've given up a 31-yard touchdown, a 33-yard touchdown, and a 40-yard touchdown. So I like the deep ball to Cortland Sutton, A grade. Tim Patrick gets a B grade. The Ravens' coverage is a mixed bag for Patrick, who normally plays the boundaries. Patrick will want to avoid Anthony Averett on the left side of the field, as he's surrendered just 37 scoreless yards per game. He will fare better on the right side, though, against Marlon Humphrey, who was good but isn't playing well this year. He's given up two scores already and 121 passer rating so far. And then lastly, Noah Fant. The Ravens have been very exploitable here. They're giving up the most targets, the most receptions, and the most yards to tight ends. So Noah Fant potentially sitting on a big game here, even though they did just hold TJ Hockenson to a nothing game a week ago. Patrick Queen has been getting destroyed by tight ends to this point of the season. And with KJ Hamler out, maybe the middle of the field, a few extra throws to Noah Fant in this game, and he gets a B grade. When we come back, final segment, including premature speculation, we'll give you the names of three guys you'll want to pick up this week that everybody else will be trying to pick up next week when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchian, Brian Johnson, and Jeff Moss with you. If you haven't yet tried a Guillotine League, new leagues still forming. And as you may already know, Guillotine Leagues are the hottest, freshest new way to play fantasy football. No head-to-head. Instead, every week, the low-scoring team gets chopped, and all their players go to the waiver wire, where it is pandemonium for the rest of us as we bid to get a whole roster's worth of great players. It's chaos. It's totally different and highly strategic. We encourage you to try that out at guillotineleagues.com. All you have to do is not be last. This is a segment we call Premature Speculation. We give you the opportunity to jump into this time machine right here. That one, right there. And pick up a bunch of guys this week that we think everybody else is going to be trying to pick up next week, but they're already on your team. Jeff, who have you got?
Well, actually, he's not premature, and he's just a guy I'm not sure why everybody has missed. It's Hunter Renfro. With all the chaos and different things going on this Raiders offense, 3 weeks, his targets, 9, 7, and 6. His games, 6 for 70, 5 for 57, and 5 for 57.
Solid numbers, yeah.
And especially in PPR. And so people, I think, have started to catch on to him. But he's been very consistent in this offense. So if he's there in your league, that's a guy that I'm looking at. Especially, you know, in these guillotine leagues where it's still early enough in the season, a guy like that is a fill-in as your second receiver.
Yeah, we want consistent output in these guillotine leagues.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a guy who could do it. Hunter Renfro. All right, who's your premature speculation player, Brian?
I got Patriots running back J.J. Taylor. James White lost for the year with a hip injury. That opens up that third down role for J.J. Taylor, who has shown he has the skill set to fill in admirably. Mm-hmm. And it's been a productive role for the Patriots, that third down pass-catching role at running back. And the Patriots have the Bucs this week. Impossible to run on them. And we're not expecting Taylor to do much running, but Tampa Bay was the only team to allow more than 100 catches to running backs last year. Yeah. So I think Taylor could be sitting on a pretty big game catching the ball. So go get him now, because after Monday, people are going to be looking at him on the waiver wire.
All right. Let's go to my premature speculation player, Rashad Bateman. Savvy fantasy players were already on Bateman when he started practicing on Wednesday, but he's still only rostered, for whatever reason, 21% of Yahoo leagues and 8% of ESPN leagues.
Man.
He was a first rounder on a team that needs help at receiver. He is a fluid, hyper-competitive receiver who will win almost all contested catches, great hands, good ball tracking, giant catch radius. There's a lot to like about this kid, and all he has to do is pass by Sammy Watkins and Devin Duvernay in the slot to get some runs. So, Marquise Brown has always felt like a number two receiver, not a number one.
Oh, his drops.
The drops last week were
awful.
Dropped more balls than
almost
a hernia specialist.
This late in the season, when you're talking about a guy like Bateman, who, I get he's a rookie, but, I mean, you look around there and Lamar Jackson, the struggles they're having in their pass game, this guy, I mean, we got to see him up close. He's the real deal, for sure.
Bucks take on the Patriots. As you may be aware, there's a certain amount of intrigue in this game and some storylines, but we're going to break it down fantasy style, starting on the Bucks side and Tom Brady. All the other stuff aside, let's just focus on fantasy. What do you expect from Tom Brady in this game?
Well, being the new guy, I don't want to break any tradition, but an 8 didn't seem right. I thought maybe alpha was the right grade for him. He's mythical.
Don't say A plus.
That's why I went with
I'll
the mythical.
Cut your
I,
mic.
Didn't, I didn't want to put the plus in there. For me, is he going to throw for 506 or is he going to have like a first half like Favre had when his dad died? No. I don't think he's going to do that, but this is about as high a floor as you're going to ever have for a fantasy quarterback. To me, it seems like it boils down to public Brady, this is the team. Private Brady went into Arian's office, closed the door, and said, hey, could you give Ron and Leo the week off this week? The Patriots' corners on paper have done really well. Mm-hmm. They're like, I think, 7th, I believe, in fantasy points allowed. Tom Brady but that goes to what's interesting. Gio Bernard was ruled out. Mm-hmm. Ronald Jones is at 5 touches per week. I moved Leonard Fournette up to a B this week.
Yeah, great.
Bruce Arians has made mention of the fact he wants to use Fournette more on third down, and he's already averaging 4 catches a game. So he could be sitting here on a pretty decent game. As far as the receivers goes, Evans and Godwin, obviously, A's. Evans, after the first week of being a little bit lost, has been way involved the last 2 weeks. Godwin has scored in 6 straight regular season games.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the only revenge guy. Antonio Brown has 1 game with the Patriots. He's off the COVID list now. He's supposed to be active. He's actually scored in 5 of his last 6 games before last week, the last week of Atlanta, before he went on the COVID list. So I would give him a B as well, especially with the news now that Gronk is doubtful for this game.
Yeah. Cameron Brate could be a fascinating pickup for those. And you've got Gronk, you need to go get Cameron Brate.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure you've got the starting tight end.
Now, for me, the fantasy guy thinks the Willis Reed thing is because, I mean, Brady to Gronk in the end zone. Oh, man. But, yeah, like you said, Cameron Brate, the guy. This is a very strange game for New England because this doesn't happen very often. They're playing the same game this week that they did last week. You had New Orleans at home. The only difference is Marshawn Lattimore is not there, but it's the same thing, and that's why, for me, Damian Harris is on the bench again. His snap count last week went down to 31%. He doesn't catch passes. He only scored 3 in his last 13 starts. He did nothing last week. Mm-hmm. I see the same thing from him this week. I don't see it any better.
Yeah, brutal matchup again.
No, and on the reverse side of that, Mac Jones, I wouldn't necessarily start him, but Trent Brown has been practicing this week, and he's had 275 passing yards in his 2 home starts. Last week, as I mentioned, Nelson Aguilar was my take-a-chance-on-me guy. But between Myers-Bourne and Aguilar, as I mentioned, 30 targets last week between these three guys. And that was with Marshawn Lattimore. I have a certain C and a B for PPR for Jacoby Myers because he's had at least 5 targets in 9 games. He's a really good PPR producer. And even Kendrick Bourne, he scored last week, had a nice game. All 3 of these guys really could be in for a decent game because Tampa's corners are awful.
Well, yeah, they just signed Richard Sherman off the street,
exactly.
And they said we're going to suit him up.
Oh yeah,
they might actually see time
play him. And just for the tight ends, Hunter Henry has seemed to jump past your guy, Jonnu Smith. I would give him a C because over the last 2 weeks he's gotten more. But Jonnu Smith, I wanted to throw this in for you though. His 1 career game against Tampa, Jonnu Smith, 6 catches, 71 yards, and a touchdown. It has nothing to do with this matchup. But
well,
just for
and that's
you,
how that's how Belichick ended up signing him.
I wanted to throw him that in.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Jeff. Brian, Steelers take on the Packers. You've already alluded to the undead corpse of Ben Roethlisberger, who has stuck around 1 year too many.
Yeah, he was my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback because I like the receiving options for Pittsburgh in this one. Najee Harris is a receiving option, by the way.
Yes,
we'll talk about him in a minute, but we'll start at wide receiver. I'm going to give Deontay Johnson a B. Should make his return from a knee injury, missed last week. The matchup doesn't look great on paper for Deontay. The Packers have only allowed 26 total catches to wide receivers, but they've also faced the Saints, Lions, and 49ers. Now, outside of Debo Samuel, there aren't any actual wide receivers on those teams.
No, right.
No.
So, and despite that, the Packers have surrendered 4 touchdowns to wide receivers. So a B for Deontay Johnson. Now we got to go over to Chase Claypool, who now is looking very iffy for this game with a hamstring injury. Did not practice on Friday.
I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, we're going to go under the assumption he is out on Sunday night. So that bumps Juju Smith-Schuster from – I had him as a bench grade just because he does not look good. He hurt his ribs.
I know. He's not right
last
either.
Week.
James Washington is a sneaky play here.
He and Juju get a C here just because I do think there will be points put up in this game. But, of course, if Chase Claypool plays, that bumps Washington to the bench and almost Juju. But I'll give Juju and Washington the C here. And tight end Pat Freiermuth, going to give him a C. Packers are allowing 7 catches, 66 yards per game to opposing tight ends. 3 total touchdowns surrendered to the position so far. Freiermuth has seemingly usurped Eric Ebron as the Steelers' top tight end, so a guy who's worth starting now in the tight end wasteland. And last and certainly not least, Najee Harris, can give him a B. 19 targets last week.
That's nuts.
That was crazy.
Second highest running back targets history of the league.
That was crazy.
And he's second in target share percentage among running backs behind only Alvin Kamara. Harris is also first among running backs in broken tackles on receptions. He clearly can run the ball, a true bell cow. It's just that offensive line is pretty garbage, but a very safe volume play. Going to give him a B here. The Packers, not a great matchup, allowing less than 120 combo yards per game to running backs. They've surrendered 3 scores to the position, so a B for Harris. Over to the Green Bay side, we'll start with Aaron Jones, who's nursing an ankle injury right now, but should play. And I will mention T.J. Watt will make his return for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's a huge deal when Elgton Jenkins is not going to play.
Yep, Jones probably would have gotten an A if there was no T.J., but since T.J. will be back, going to give Jones a B. Tough matchup for Aaron. Pittsburgh is allowing the 9th fewest combo yards and yards per carry to opposing running backs and are one of 5 teams yet to allow a running back touchdown this season. Jones does lead all running backs in red zone touches, so he certainly has a chance to score even against the Steelers, but just a B for Jones in this one. Davante Adams gets an A, though. 27 targets over the last 2 weeks. Pittsburgh allowing 190-plus yards per game to wide receivers.
Yeah.
5 total touchdowns. Easy A for Davante.
MVS is out. Did you like any of the other receivers?
Yeah, because MVS is out with the hamstring injury. I'll give Alan Lazard a C just based on the stats I just read off. He'll see plenty of single coverage in this game with the Steelers focused in on Davante Adams for sure. And Robert Tonyan, off to an awful start this year, but going to give him a C here. The Steelers are allowing a little over 4 catches and 50 yards per game to tight ends. Not great, but it's been a mixed bag of results for the opposition. So last week, the Bengals tight ends combined for 0 catches on 1 target.
Okay.
But in week 2, the Raiders tight ends, Darren Waller, Foster Moreau, and Derek Carrier combined for 9 catches, 112 yards, and a touchdown. So I'm going to give Tonyan a C here, but he really needs to score.
They
got to
get him going.
I know, they really do.
I think with MVS out, that a lot of that passing offense is going to go through Tonyan. I think the bounce back game is coming right here.
I do as well. And speaking of getting going, after that awful start to the season in week 1, Aaron Rodgers has certainly gotten going. But just a B for him here. Again, it would have been an A if T.J. Watt was not going to play for Pittsburgh. But the Steelers have faced 3 quality quarterbacks in Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Derek Carr, and have allowed an average of 274 yards and 2 touchdowns per game to opposing quarterbacks. Feels about right for Aaron Rodgers' floor in this game, with certainly a chance to score higher than that.
Let's go to the Monday night game as our final game. And there's a real problem for fantasy owners because we don't know who the starting running back is going to be for the Raiders against the bottom-ranked run defense in the league. So an ideal scenario, you have Jacobs and Barber, Josh Jacobs and Peyton Barber, and you can pivot to whichever one you need to. But for most of us, that's not the case. You're going to have to set your lineup on Sunday and make some kind of an educated guess, and I don't believe we're going to have final word on whether it's Jacobs or Barber before Sunday for this Monday night game. So yeah, you're kind of stuck. You can roll the dice if you want in a very positive matchup against the team allowing the most rushing yards and 5.5 yards per carry. 4 different runners have topped 100 total yards against the Chargers already. Let's go to the passing game where Derek Carr slumps to a C in his toughest matchup of the year. He goes up against a rebuilt Chargers pass defense that has already shut out Dak Prescott and mortalized Patrick Mahomes in back-to-back weeks. They've got that impressive rookie, Asante Samuel Jr., who was defensive rookie of the year. Sorry, rookie of the month for September. And they got back elite safety Derwin James. And so you roll that together, and I can't assure you that Derek Carr keeps his momentum going here. All of his receivers have difficult individual matchups, which I'll discuss in just a minute. But I do love Darren Waller. So Carr remains startable with a C grade. Waller, obvious A. Chargers have allowed the 7th most catches to tight ends and have had no answer for Waller's closest comparable, Travis Kelce, last week. He rolled up 7 catches for 104 yards. As for the receivers, Renfro, Ruggs, Edwards, just too many tough matchups against a very good Chargers secondary that's already humbled Tyreek Hill, Amari Cooper, and Terry McLaurin. So I don't like Renfro, Ruggs, and Edwards, I can tell you that much. Los Angeles ranks number 2 in wide receiver yards allowed, number 1 in wide receiver touchdowns allowed, and number 7 in wide receiver receptions allowed. Brutal matchups for those guys. All right, now let's go over to the LA side of this game. Austin Eckler, A grade. I feel really good about him here, and maybe I've going to this weekend feeling as good about Eckler in this one as any of them. He's seen an increase in snaps in every game. He's hauled in 15 of the 15 throws that have come his direction over the past 2 weeks. The Raiders have been in the better half of the league in most running back defensive metrics so far, but 5 separate running backs have already topped 74 total yards or found the end zone. If 5 of those guys have, I can't see Eckler not hitting 74 total yards and or the end zone. He probably does both. Moving over to the passing game, Justin Air Bear gets an A grade. The Raiders secondary clearly improved from last year, but after slowing the modest passing attacks of Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Miami, I don't believe Las Vegas can stop Justin Air Bear at all. He has looked great. He's completing 70% of his passes, despite playing better defenses than the Raiders can put on the field. As a rookie against this team, he topped 300 yards and 2 touchdowns in both meetings with the Raiders. He will do it again here. A grade for Justin Air Bear. Keenan Allen, A grade. He's notched at least 100 total yards and a score in 11 of the last 13 games and has done so in all 3 games this year. He'll primarily go up against rookie slot cornerback Nate Hobbs, who has looked fine, but he's not Keenan Allen, and he's going to get torched by Allen in this game. So I got an A grade on Keenan Allen, a B grade on Mike Williams, who draws a tough matchup with the one good member of this Las Vegas secondary, Casey Hayward, who ranks second among 52 cornerbacks who've played at least 100 snaps, according to Pro Football Focus, in coverage grade. Hayward travels with the opponent's best outside receiver. And, of course, Keenan Allen largely plays from the slot. The best outside receiver is Mike Williams. He's going to get a lot of Casey Hayward. And it's going to take some creativity for the Chargers to get Williams free of Hayward. And I've just got the B on Williams, even though he's been one of the hottest receivers in fantasy football. Jared Cook gets a C. There's been middling totals in every game so far for Cook. But Mike Gesicki just went off for 10 catches and 86 yards against Las Vegas. So we're going to, in this tight end wasteland, we'll give Jared Cook a C grade in this game. Whew. It's a lot to get through, you guys.
We did it.
Jeff, how did it feel? First one.
Well, I love it. I mean, I just thank you for having me here. This, you know, little bit surreal sitting here in this chair with all the people who sat here, but I really, really enjoyed it.
Great job. Today, and we appreciate you filling in for our usual guys. If you missed any part of this show, look for Fantasy Football Weekly, the podcast, if you're listening to this over the air and you want to hear the podcast. Or you can also find us over the air if you're listening to the podcast. It works both ways. We'll be back next week. Best of luck in week number 4, everybody. Talk to you in a week. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.